1910. Ham Radio and More is brought to you by Antennas West, Showtronics, and Wallpaper World. Now, here's the host of Ham Radio and More, Len Winkler.
CQ, 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 Arizona, and welcome to Ham Radio and More. I'm your host, Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and we're sponsored today by Antennas West, Showtronics, Wallpaper World, and Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Automotive. In the studio today, I have Alan Shope, the president of Showtronics, and Mike Connors, NQ7K, ham operator, and the production manager for Showtronics. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you, Lynn. Thanks for having us.
Okay. Our phone number is 241-1510. That's 241-1510. Or 1-800-293-KFNN if you're out in the boonies in the out of our local dialing area, and we'll pay for your call. If you have any questions whatsoever about computers, hardware, software, or peripherals, give Alan and Mike and me a call here at 241-1510. We have Alan, who's been Alan Shope, the president of Showtronics, who is an electrical engineer. He got his degree from Northeastern many years ago. And if you have any questions whatsoever regarding computers, he can answer it. We also have, again, Mike Connors, and he can answer any questions you might have regarding computers and how they interact with amateur radio. So feel free to give us a call. Again, our number, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. Alan, let's just start. How did you get involved with computers? I mean, what led you to the computer business?
Well, personal computers. excuse me. Back in 1984, our family's Atari computer went bad. That was right around Christmas time. And a couple of months later, I had to do my income taxes. And so I got the big head that I wanted an IBM computer. Mm-hmm. And I went down to the local computer land store, and their systems down there were about $6,000 for a little two floppy PC at that time. So I couldn't really afford that. But at work, scanning some of the trade magazines, I noticed that there were a couple of companies way up in Canada selling copied motherboards and selling motherboards, duplicates of the IBM system. Mm-hmm. And they supposedly had the instructions. You had to do everything from scratch yourself, solder all components and everything. But, you know, it was, the price was right. You know, it was $50 for a board. So
a little better than $6,000.
So I sent away for it, got the board, and it was real rough. But at least it was a board that I could put together. And I started putting it together from parts I had out in the garage and the local surplus stores in town. And around about 6 weeks later, working nights, I got that little personal computer working. Mm-hmm. And I had spent a total of about $1,500 for it. Now, that was a little two floppy monochrome PC. Mm-hmm. And but that same system was around $5,000 to $6,000 at Computerland. And some of the other engineers at work heard about it, and they said, hey, you got to bring it in and show us your computer. And I took it in and showed them at lunch, and they said, hey, you know, build us one. And I said, are you kidding? Come on. but they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. They said, we'll give you an extra $600. We'll pay you $2,100 to build us two machines, two of the acquaintance engineers I had there. Mm-hmm. So I built them two more machines, and back at that time, a 10-megabyte hard drive was going for around $700 from a company called, it was TW Technologies in town. And anyway, I built those two machines and got enough money to buy me a 10-megabyte hard drive for my machine, and it just started snowballing from there. Their friends called me and wanted me to make machines for them, and one thing led to another, and I was in business in my garage building PCs every night.
And so in 1985, when Showtronics opened up as a retail store, is that correct? Or
I didn't really open up as a retail store then. I was doing it just part-time out of my house, and I put a little ad every weekend in the paper and the classifieds, and people would call me up on Sunday, and I'd invite them over, you know, during the evening to look at the machines. And it wasn't until about a year later that I actually decided to take the plunge and quit my job officially as a designer over at Edge Computer in Scottsdale and, you know, go 100% into the PC business.
But you were one of the first, if not the first, in Arizona to put together a clone of an IBM?
I don't know if I'm actually the first, but I've never had anyone come up to me and say, no, you weren't the first.
They did it first.
So I don't know of anyone that built one. When I built that first one, it was around January 15th of 1985 is when I built that first system.
Okay. And Mike, you've been a ham, what, about 6 years now?
That's correct, Lynn.
Okay. And in amateur radio, what do you get involved with the most?
I dabble in a little bit of everything. I enjoy HF, rag chewing. I enjoy the code, packet radio. I enjoy ATV a little bit. I just like to do a little bit of everything.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to both of you in a few minutes. I have some things I want to discuss first. Let me remind everybody that Fort Tuthill is only a few weeks away, July 26th, 27th, and 28th. That's the largest ham fest in Arizona, so you want to definitely be there. There'll be prizes given away like a Kenwood TS-680, an ICOM 24AT, and a Kenwood TH-27A. Tailgater fees are $10 per space and $5 for overnight to camp there. There'll be seminars and VE testing. Jim Stevens from Antennas West will give an HF seminar on, I believe it's on Saturday, I'm not sure, but he'll be on in a couple weeks to tell us more about it. And, of course, there'll be VE testing by the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club that'll be held on Saturday. Saturday will even feature some kid programs, according to the brochure. Hal Mann, WA7ZCZ, at 963-6830 can be called for further information and advance tickets. The talk-in frequency will be 147.88 and 447.125. So be there. It's off of I-17 West at exit 337. This coming Saturday, July 13th, we'll have another transmitter hunt, and it sure is a lot of fun, and everybody's invited to participate. It starts promptly at 7 o'clock, and if you want to participate in it, you really need to be there at least 15 to 20 minutes early. And if you want more information on it, just give me a call at the station at 241-1510, and I'll give you more information about it. This Thursday, July 11th, the Central Arizona DX Association has its July dinner meeting at the Para Club. And they're one of the fastest growing clubs around, and they always have a great program to watch, so try and make the meeting. I'd like to give you read you a report from that I received in the mail from Lee Finkel, KY7M, about the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club Field Day. It'll take a couple minutes, but it shows how many people were involved in the most anticipated ham event of the year. And again, Lee Finkel, I thank you for it. I hope you don't mind that I'm going to read it, but I think it was excellently written, and it tells about what Field Day is and what was going on, et cetera, et cetera. They came, they conquered. The weather was ideal with clear skies and cool temperatures, especially at night. Good sleeping weather, except for those of us who didn't sleep during the contest. All the stations were kept on the air for the whole 24 hours this year, thanks to a very dedicated smaller group of operators. There were no mosquitoes, moths, or gnats. Just imposters, right, Bill? Well, I can tell you that a few of those imposters took care of my legs, but then I was stupid enough to wear shorts. All of the towers and antennas were constructed on Friday, thanks to Ed Nickerson, WU7S, Jack Meese, KA7AKJ, and Warner, K7RJD, and their assistants. We even had an RF noise bridge available to check antenna resonance for the first time ever. One tower was actually up in the air before dark on Friday night. It was the best jump on the contest the club has ever had, and it really paid dividends. Ed, our chief antenna and tower erector director, assured a safe operation of putting the antennas and towers up and taking them down slowly and carefully. Now, the food was fantastic. Our cooks, Barney Fagan, KB7KOE, and Mark McFadden, KB7LPR, outdid themselves with a very professional meal service at very reasonable prices. Those who partook of the tasty vittles and survived, most of us did, received a pigsty award, and that was a cute computer-generated pigsty award. After breakfast, the usual race was on to complete all the pre-contest preparations. And although 11 o'clock seemed so far away, we all knew those last remaining hours would fly by. The 20-meter phone station was the first ready to go with the Yaesu FT-757. Next, the 40-meter beam went up for CW. After some spirited discussion about more antennas than towers, the club trailer tower was commandeered to hold the 10-meter and 15-meter antennas for CW, and that solved the tower dilemma. The first CW station located in the club trailer used an ICOM IC761. Next up was the 20 CW beam on the challenging hilltop location that always makes a loud performer. And at the same time, we put up the latest invention, an 80-meter wire ground plane hung off a tall pine tree. I remember them throwing the rocks over the tree. Lee did it a couple of times, and then they fell apart, and he had to retie the knots and stuff, but that was kind of interesting. I don't know why they didn't bring a bow and arrow. Could have been neat, you know. I mean, Robin Hood did it. Finally, the second 40-meter beam and the TH-3 for 10 meters and 15 meters went up at 10:50 a.m. for the other phone station, which used a Drake TR-7. Murphy did strike here, as it was later determined, and I remember this because I was lucky enough to help put up this, and then they had to move it, that the 40-meter beam on phone was a mix-and-match construction effort of reflector and driven elements. After lowering the tower several hours into the contest, the SWR was considerably improved. I remember, I think it was hitting 5-1 or something, when the elements were reassembled in their proper pairs. The novices operated in style this year with a Kenwood TS-940S and their own antenna farm, compliments of Jack Sheldon, W7VIB. They had a TA-33 for 10-meter and 15-meter and a pair of full-size 40-meter verticals. And these novices knew how to use a CW key to the tune of 169 CW QSOs, in addition to 39 phone contacts on a dead 10 meters. I am impressed, quoting Lee Finkel. And I know 10 meters was dead. Also up and running again this year was a complete satellite station that added significantly to the scoring. Randy, WB0SMX, and Don, KE7NR, survived computer noise to still log 48 QSOs on CW and 8 on phone. All the logging was done on portable laptop PCs on a special field day program from the K1EACT program, which Mike Connors and I were talking about a little earlier. He likes that program. Neil, K7WK, made sure that every station was QRV on computer. It made a tremendous difference in avoiding duplicate contacts and gave us instant results on how well we scored this year. The running QSO rate feedback on the computer screen during the contest provided an added incentive for the operators to keep plugging away as we tried to keep the numbers up. The generators were kept running smoothly during the entire contest thanks to Bob Martin, W7YE, and his crew. The HF rigs all performed without any problems except for some densing of receivers on 15 and 40 CW and 20 sideband due to the close proximity of their antennas, a problem we will avoid next year with better spacing of the antennas. Our public relations and sanitation responsibilities were ably handled by Sandy Forley and 7PQP. Those two things really do go together in some ways, don't they, Sandy? The wire ground plane on 80 meters performed very well despite its sloping angle, added 174 CW QSOs to total, and then, as an additional bonus, worked 110 QSOs on 75-meter phone before sunrise Sunday morning. On every HF band and mode, the club had higher totals than in 1990. Conditions were superb on 20 and 40 meters. 10 meters was useless. 15 meters was spotty, but provided some good runs. This was a real team effort. A big thank you goes out to everyone, like Eddie Koch. Couch N7JOR did whatever was needed for the success of this field day effort. After the generators were turned off, and all the aluminum was packed away until next year, Bill Andrews, W8AKH, smiled the smile of a baseball manager who had just won the World Series, or a football coach with his first Super Bowl trophy. You deserve to smile, Bill. It was fun and successful field day for Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club. Next year, 15,000 points instead of, what did they get? 14,000, a little over 14,000 this year. Next year, 15. What do you say? Have I got some 80-meter antennas for you? And then he shows some statistics. Well, Lee, I thank you again for that, and I appreciate everybody's indulgence in letting me read that. I took part in it, and it was my first field day, and it was a fun experience, and I see why it's the most looked at or looked forward to event of the year. And as Mike is shaking his head, and you probably didn't even participate in field day this year, did you?
This year on field day, we built computers.
Alan, did you have something to do with that?
You got to take care of business when you got to take care of business.
Okay. Okay. About this, Scott, let's see. Again, thank you, Lee, for the effort. Next week, our guest I want to just mention will be John Moore, NJ7E, and he'll be here to discuss more about Northlink repeaters, the weather disaster nets, some more about T-Hunts. We'll discuss what happened Saturday night for all of you who don't come along, the FCC ARRL official observer program, and more. So listen again, of course, next week. I want to thank all of those people out there who sent me their QSL cards again during the week. And the more QSL cards, the better. Please keep sending them to Len Winkler in care of KFNN. And that's 4800 North Central, Phoenix, 85012. So please send me a QSL card. I'll get one back to you that has KFNN and KB7LPW on it. It'll go to you. And we'll, of course, put you in our drawing, which we'll have later in the day, later in the show, for a Tiger's Tail. If my computer did not have a CPU chip inserted in it, I'd have a hard time using it. Is that right?
Of course.
Okay. I just want to make sure I was right about that.
It
would be a pet rock. Well, that worked for a while. But I need a good CPU chip. And different CPU chips are better or worse in how a computer runs, right?
Correct.
Okay, well, in the same way, the same thing is true, of course, with an antenna. You got to have a good antenna to run your radio, right, Mike?
Correct.
Okay. So a great radio with no antenna is absolutely no good, but a fairly lousy antenna radio with a really great antenna makes the radio work great or pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. So you need a good antenna. And where better to get one than Antennas West? I can't think of a place. Jim Stevens, KK. How'd you like that? Jim Stevens, KK7C of Antennas West, manufactures some of the best quality, lowest price, and super achiever antennas that there are. From his full size G5 RV for 3.5 to 28 megahertz at only $35, to the half square that has very low angle radiation, to the Sparky J 1/2 wave flexible DX antenna, to the QRV Slinky indoor antenna for 40 through 10 meters, Antennas West has an antenna to fit your needs and fit your budget. It's like a 286, 386, or a 986. They are coming out with one, right?
Tomorrow.
Okay, everybody stand in line at Showtronics tomorrow morning for the 986. Okay, he has a sale on them. Alan promised me on 986. Of course, Antennas West also has QSL cards, solar power supplies.
Give away a free antenna with every 986.
Okay. And the now famous Tiger's Tail that absolutely improves the output and receive of your HT by 2 to 3.5 dB. Now call Jim at Antennas West first thing tomorrow and order the antenna of your choice, or just get a gigantic information product catalog, or buy a Tiger's Tail. $5, you can't beat it. So mention Ham Radio and More, and Jim will give you a discount on any item you buy. Just mention Ham Radio and More. So call 1-800-926-7373. Seriously, 1-800-926-7373 for the best deal on antennas and other products. You'll be happy that you did. Okay, we have a caller, Raleigh, W9OBU. That's an Illinois call, possibly. And let's get Raleigh on the phone here. Raleigh, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Thank you very much. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you very much.
I hope my comment is appropriate, because it's not quite on computers. However, as I've been in radio for some time, as my W9 call would indicate, and I hear, you know, people of all walks of life get involved with this hobby, but it's especially a great hobby for people without vision. And I wanted to mention that if there is anyone out there listening who is either without vision or who has a friend who is without vision, there are courses available that are free of charge from the Hadley School, where one could get the tapes and, if the person reads Braille, the Braille material in order to get involved with the hobby in any level. I think, well, I have my advanced, so I know it goes up that high, and it probably goes to extra. I haven't even investigated that. But I wanted to assure everyone that it's a great hobby for someone without vision.
Well, I think I agree with you. For a sightless person, this would be an excellent hobby. It's also good for anybody who is, there's a Handy Ham, which we're going to have a program on in the not too distant future, because I think that is a very interesting aspect. It's great if for some reason you can't leave your home or your bed or whatever, you're still able to participate in this hobby, almost 100%. There's very little you can't do.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. On a related subject, I've just begun to get into the exciting world of computers using some special software which converts the computer screen into audio. And it's really fascinating. So if anybody out there is anxious to get their feet wet with computers, I would really encourage them to do so. It's a great, just a fascinating activity.
Is this a special program, or did you write it, or?
No, I didn't write it. It's okay. A special program. I have a speech synthesizer, which is actually the voice of the thing, and then this program converts the material on the screen so that it can be read either letter by letter, word by word, or line by line.
Okay, Alan has a comment.
Yes, they're just now becoming popular, and just recently, they're up to the point where they're actually very useful in the PC business. As a matter of fact, just a couple of weeks ago, we had a sightless gentleman who was installing one in his PC, and we had to, he had an older PC, so we had to put a hard drive in it for him because they recommended that you have a hard drive with those installation. But he was very excited about the prospect of being able to continue using his computer. And I think this would also be a good area for him to get into with the ham radio. So I'll mention that to him.
That's a great idea. I use mine in my work. And part of my work is tracking the calls I receive. So the computer really is something that comes in handy in generating reports for me. And I use the word processing part of it to a great degree.
Okay. Well, Raleigh, I really appreciate you listening and calling in and participating.
Thanks for the show.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. 73. Okay. Anybody else that has a question, please feel free to call us, especially, you know, anything about computers, whether it be something about DOS 5 or whatever, please give us a call at 241-1510. In the meantime, Alan, you have a little trivia question that we'd like to throw out. And the winner of this trivia question will win a box of high-density, double-sided, obviously, diskettes. So this is not the easiest question I've ever heard, but then...
Oh, it's an easy question.
For all you computer buffs out there, you're going to know this right off. And our number is 241-1510. Or 1-800-293-5366. And Alan, let's hear the question.
It takes 9 DRAM chips to make up a bank of memory in a PC-compatible computer. How come it takes 9, though, when a byte of computer information is only 8 bits? How come it takes 9?
Okay. Now, I hope everybody got that. We have a couple of, well, some people, because the phones lit up all of a sudden. So, I mean, obviously we have computer buffs. I wouldn't be surprised if Randy or somebody is calling out there, but that's okay. Everybody is entitled to win. All right. In the meantime, while we get the, get a winner, let's just go over some real basic things. We hear PC, XT, AT, 286, 386, 486. I'm joking about a 986. What do all these things do? Does the number 86 have some significance in it?
No, that was Intel's manufacturer's code for the part number of the microprocessor chip, and it has just caught on as the name for the item, and it's just used as slang in the business to indicate the type of computer that you have.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you start off at the low end on with PCs. When IBM first came out with their PC back in 1981, it used an Intel 8088 microprocessor as the heart of that computer's motherboard, and that processor was able to manipulate 8 bits of data at a time. It was an 8-bit computing device. And it operated at 4.77 megahertz, and it was great for the day. Later on, in 1984, when IBM added a hard drive to that PC, they called the new computer an XT, Extra Technology. That's where the XT code letters came from.
Okay.
At the same time, they also came out with an AT machine, which used as its heart an 8286 processor from Intel, which was a 16-bit computing device, so it could manipulate data twice as fast as its little brother, the PC or the XT.
Then I remember the PC Junior also.
Oh, right. Well, we won't talk about that. But anyway, you go on up to the 386 machines, which are 32-bit computing devices, and they can manipulate 4 times the information at once over the original PC. The 486 machines are still 32-bit computational devices, but they are streamlined or enhanced versions of the 386 and do things better and faster.
So a 486 is a 486, let me ask this, is a 486-33 legitimately quicker than a 386-33?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
All right, we have a winner on the phone, and let's get to Carl right now. Welcome, Carl, AF0X, to amateur radio here, Ham Radio and More. How you doing?
Hey, good afternoon. I got the fastest fingers in town.
You must, because all 4 lines, they all lit up immediately, and you were number one. Are you sure you didn't call before the question was asked?
I'm positive.
Okay,
it's my brother on the phone.
No, I know, Carl, and I know his last name is not Show, but you could have a brother with a different name. But so, Carl, what is the answer? Let's ask the question again. What's the question again?
It takes 9 DRAM chips to make up a byte of information in the computer. How come when a byte of information really is only 8 bits?
And the answer is?
Well, the last one's for parity.
How correct you are.
So you're a computer wizard.
Well, I don't know about wizard. I just asked the same question when I went to upgrade mine, why I had to have 9 chips instead of 8. And I brought them went into a pretty detailed explanation on it, so I learned something.
You'd be surprised how many computer stores in town don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. Well, I know Showtronics knows the answer, right? Another plug there. Okay, Carol. Well, you're going to win a box of diskettes. You've got to go to Showtronics to pick it up, though.
Okay,
do you know where they're located?
Oh, I certainly do.
Oh, okay. I was going to give them a plug.
Right,
I was going to give them. No, you can't do it till tomorrow because he's got to call and say who the winner is. I mean, what if we had 1,000 people show up there?
Well, he probably.
They all say their name is Carl. Hello, my name is Carl. I come for the diskettes.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's at 1831 West Rose Garden Lane, and Carl, I appreciate it. And I told Mike that we tied up the packet for about 2.5 hours the other day downloading a program.
Yeah, you know, I have a question for Mike if I could ask him.
Go ahead.
I was playing around with Procom this morning and trying it on packet, and I tried to download using X modem and got a whole bunch of errors. I wonder if there's any parameters I need to set in Procom to get it to work pretty well on packet downloading binary files.
I've used Procom on and off for packet. There shouldn't be any problems with it. It's a pretty straight terminal program. And I wouldn't think you'd have any problems at all. Are you sure you have it set up right?
Well, that's what I'm asking. I, you know, it works fine on the phone modem, but using Yap is successful, but a little bit on the slow side, as Len and I found out the other day.
Very slow.
Are you using the latest version of Procom?
No, I was using one that I think they refer to it as Test Drive.
Oh, PC Plus Test Drive?
Right.
Oh, that's a pretty good one. That should work fine.
Was there any parameters he needs to...
Does the older version of Procom support the X modem?
I believe it does. It has X modem, Y modem.
You might try another type. You might try Y modem just to see. I don't know whether or not X modem had a problem with the older version of Procom or not.
All right, I'll give that a try.
Okay, Carl, we appreciate your calling in.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, want to take a minute to talk about Wallpaper World. Has the best prices on the best quality window coverings in Arizona. There's no question. Wallpaper World manufactures custom aluminum mini blinds, custom vertical blinds, custom pleated shades, custom wood shutters right here in Phoenix. So when you buy factory direct. No middleman markups. Plus, with a minimum order, you get free measuring and free installation. Of course, Wallpaper World also carries name brands like Kirsch Leveler, Chic, Graber, and more. They really feature their Chic line of window coverings and duets and wood blinds at sensational prices. Duets and wood blinds can be purchased now at a double discount price of 50% off the list, plus another 25% off of that. Wow, now that's a sale. Also, mention Ham Radio and More and receive a free valance with every Chic mini blind or vertical blind purchased. That's right, just mention Ham Radio and More, this show, for a free valance with any blind that you purchase, with any Chic blind that you purchase. Another great reason to shop, Wallpaper World. With 6 locations in the Valley, super selection and service, and the lowest prices anywhere, it's no wonder that Wallpaper World makes selecting home decorating products an enjoyable experience. Call 678-1234 for the location nearest you. And anybody that has any questions on computers, by all means, give us a call at 241-1510. Okay, what's the truth? I want to know the truth about DOS 5. I hear it being pushed all over. I hear everything about it. Is it really some new revelation, something brand new, and I can't wait to put it in my computer at home?
So far, the results are still out, by the way, on DOS 5. But so far, it looks like a very good program, and we could tell you more if I had my engineering manager here today, but we don't. I've just put a switch to it on my machine for advertising, and I do know this, that it frees up extra memory in your system, and it allows you then to run Windows much better. So just for that one tidbit alone, it's well worth the money to upgrade your system to DOS 5. So I would heartily recommend that anyone with DOS 4 or below should upgrade to the new version of DOS, because it seems like a well-rounded program. There doesn't seem to be any bugs at this point. We haven't had anybody call in with, you know, compatibility problems running programs under DOS 5 that would work under DOS 4 or DOS 3. So it looks pretty good so far.
Well, I've heard they have a new editor program in it or something like that. They have some, the DOS shell works, because
right,
I heard that the old DOS shell didn't work too well.
That's right. It's supposed to work a lot better. I haven't used the editor. We have another program called Quick Menu that runs on top of DOS that allows the user to do all of those features without going to DOS for them. So I don't get involved too much with the editor, but I have heard that it has also improved over the old version.
Okay.
Another nice feature about the new DOS 5 is the help system that it has now for DOS commands. For users who are not extremely familiar with all of the DOS commands, they have updated their help system for all the commands, and now it's much easier. They're very descriptive in helping a user with the DOS commands.
Anything that makes it easier is worthwhile.
Right.
Okay. We have another phone call. Let me take this one. Mark, KB7LPR, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Good afternoon, Lynn. I have a question for Alan.
Okay, go ahead.
Shoot.
Okay, running a 286 IBM clone with a megabyte of RAM and a DOS 5, what advantages would I realize by adding another mega RAM?
well, none originally, unless you're running Windows. If you're running Windows, then that can take advantage of the extra memory in the system. All you can do right now with DOS 5 on your 286 is you can load DOS into the high memory, freeing up more of your low memory 640K for use in applications programs. Typically, before DOS 5, you only had around, I think, 580K, 570K available for programs. With DOS 5, you can go up to 620K available for your application. So you can free up some memory as long as the application can use it.
Okay, so I don't run Windows, so it wouldn't be a great advantage to me for another megabyte of RAM.
No, I don't believe so at this point. The need for more memory is only there if you are running applications that require or can use the high memory in the system, the extended or expanded memory in the system, and there's not that many programs out right now that use that extra memory. Lotus is available, Windows, anything running under Windows, Lotus, AutoCAD, and some of the other high-end programs, CAD and desktop publishing, take advantage of the extra memory, but in your case, it would seem that 1 meg is adequate for what you're doing right now.
Okay, I thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling, Mark. Bye-bye. Okay, I want to take a minute to tell you we are about 19 minutes before the hour. Savings of up to $2,000. The most sincere salesperson I've ever dealt with. I was so pleased, I'll tell all my friends, everyone I know. It was so easy. It was the first time I had a no-hassle deal, and boy, was I satisfied. These are just some of the many, many things people are saying about Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Automotive. Usually when a customer writes a company, at least I know about my company, when a customer writes a company regarding something they bought, it's usually a negative letter. But not when it involves Ken Nichols of Linda Brock. Most of his customers actually send him a thank you card or even a gift. It truly is amazing. The reasons are simple. One, he is the guy with the lowest prices on any vehicle you want, new or used. He takes pride in what he does and you reap the benefits. He's your single source for any new vehicle, any kind, any brand, I don't care what it is. And over 100 used cars, or used vehicles. No hassles, no dickering, no negotiating. Ken gives you that low bottom line price first. So why don't you join the Ken Nichols fan club and crowd? Call Ken today for that special vehicle at the right price. Call Ken at his own number, 228-2336, 228-2336, and as a ham, WA7HXZ, Ken knows you love caps. So stop by, and Ken will give you a free white cap just for saying hello. That's Ken Nichols, 228-2336. You don't need to buy a fleet of cars to get fleet pricing. You can be a fleet pricing buyer with only one car from Ken Nichols. So call today, 228-2336. Okay, I read in the paper even today, I read in the paper a couple days ago, that the two big names in computers, Apple and IBM, have gotten together. They've shook hands. I don't know if it's a monopoly or what that's taking over the industry, but what future is there in the computers? I mean, what is this going to do? Is this going to change the course of computers? Are we going to have an Apple M or something coming out, or what are we going to see? What is this going to do that the two biggest people in or companies in computers have gotten together?
Well, I don't have an in, so I really
can't say. I thought you did.
Yeah, well, Billy Gates, when he called me last night, no, it's hard to say, but I don't think anything will come of it immediately. It may in the long term. I think it's IBM's attempt to get in on Microsoft's dominance of the market right now, and they are trying to retaliate and make partnerships with Apple for our software ventures. But I really don't see it as being an impact in the compatible market right now in the foreseeable future.
So we're not going to see some new machine that's going to just, or some new software that's going to just make us mind-boggle?
No, the trends right now are making the systems cheaper and more affordable for the masses, and I think that's the push right now. With AMD's coming out with 386 CPU chips.
That's a competitor to Intel, is that what
you're
referring
to? Right, but there was some licensing disputes, and they had a court thing, and AMD won, and now they're producing the 386 chips.
And it's identical?
Yes, it's identical, and it's licensed from Intel, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And it's AMD's is causing this whole 386, 286 market to go down in price, because now you have...
We'll get to that in a minute. Okay. We'll get to that in a minute, because I have another phone call, which I want to get to.
Okay, great.
So let's see what we got. Kurt, N7NRT in Mesa, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay, and what can we do for you today?
I want to figure out the easiest way to copy CW on my computer.
Hmm. Mike, do you have an answer for that?
Are you trying to just receive the CW and print it up on your screen? Is that what your question is?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to try to do.
Okay, there are many different ways. Some of the multi-mode TNCs have send and receive Morse code capability.
I know my MFJ-1278
right.
with the Multicom program will receive CW, but I'm telling you, it's got to come in pretty good, because if it's weak, it really doesn't receive it well.
Right. Some of the radios need some selective filtering in order to receive it extremely well, but most of the multi-mode TNCs do a very adequate job on the CW.
So my first step then is I need a TNC.
Yeah, do you have a computer?
Yeah, I've got an XT.
Yeah, okay.
I've got a PK88, but I don't think that receives Morse, does it?
No, that's just the packet-only modem, I believe. There are several multi-mode TNCs on the market now. MFJ makes them, of course, AEA, Cantronics, and all seem to do a very adequate job.
The MFJ program, you know, and I'm only talking from personal experience, works pretty well. I mean, you can get any speed up to 99 words per minute,
right.
And it's not that difficult to tune in, but it needs to be, at least I've found, it needs to be a pretty strong signal. You know, you're not going to hit that DX station that you can barely hear, a 1S unit. It's going to have to be something that's coming in pretty strong, and it will absolutely decipher it and put it on your screen, and I guess you can certainly print it out.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? Do you have any...
Got to take care of it.
Okay, Kurt. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, my daughter Lori is here, and if she would come into the studio for 1 minute, I want her to draw a card. She's walking so slow here. I want her to draw a card from my little group that I have here, which I want your cards. I need your cards so that we have more and more and more QSL cards here that we can draw and give prizes away. So, come on, today. Who do we have? We have Robert Miner in Phoenix, Arizona, KA7NPQ, KA7NPQ. You've won a tiger's tail, and that's from Antennas West, courtesy of Jim Stevens of Antennas West. And again, his number is 1-800-926-7373. And a tiger's tail, as you know, is made for your HT. It absolutely works. It will increase your output and you receive by between 2 and 4 dB. We've tested it, and it absolutely works. It's an amazing, simple little product, but it works. And if you want to buy one, you can buy one for just $5 from Antennas West. He'll ship it to you and everything for just a total of $5. So, Robert Miner, you'll get this in the mail. So I thank you very much for participating. And everybody else, send in your QSL cards to 4800 North Central, Phoenix, Arizona, Len Winkler, and we'll enter you in the drawing, and you can be a winner. Okay, we were talking about price there for a minute, Alan, and I opened up the Sunday's paper today, and I was reading the business section, and I know that this has to be a misprint, because I follow the ads in the newspaper every week, and look at what's going on. And I looked in the paper today, and I saw that you have a 386, 33 megahertz, 4 megabytes of RAM, a standard case, okay, 64 cache, of course, all ports included, 1.2 and 1.44 drive, an 80 megabyte hard drive. That's, you sure it's not supposed to be 40 or 20?
No, it's 80.
No, 80. An 80 megabyte hard drive, a 16-bit VGA 512K, a 14-inch 0.28 SVG, dead S is not supposed to be in there, right? An SVGA monitor? You mean a VGA monitor?
No, it's Super VGA. Right here.
An SVGA monitor for only $1,649?
I can't believe it.
This is not...
I want to give this stuff away, but my wife won't let me.
I mean, really, wait a minute. Now, I scoured the entire paper. I mean, I look every week at the prices. Not that I need another computer, but I look, and there is nobody offering a 386-33 with 4 megabytes of RAM, with an 80 megabyte hard drive, with a Super VGA monitor for $1,649.
You're correct. That's probably the lowest price in the nation right now on that system.
And then, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. I also see on here, it says, if you bring this ad in and you purchase any of these systems, you get a free quick menu and a power director for $99 value free. Now what exactly...
Well, the power director, that's a surge protector and a power center that allows you to plug everything from your computer system, the monitor, the computer.
Oh, that goes under the monitor.
That's right. Oh. And that allows you to have everything fixed up. And the quick menu program is our icon-driven program manager that allows you to run other software programs with your mouse on your system.
Well...
It's a very good package.
You just obviously just dropped these prices, because I thought last week they were more expensive.
We are continuing to be very aggressive in the PC marketplace in the 1990s as we go on into the 1991s. It's very important when the country goes through a recession, that the successful company has to be aggressive, and you have to buy in high volume to get the prices lower, and then you've got to pass them on to the customers. And that's exactly what we're attempting to do.
What kind of warranties do you give? I know you have a couple different lines of computers, but what are your types
of... All of our systems have a one-year, fix-it-now, kiss-butt warranty. You bring the system in, we fix it. There's no waiting. While you wait, service is available, and we're not going to give you a ticket and tell you to call back in 3 or 4 days. We'll attempt to fix your machine and get you up and running while you wait right then and there. So it's a very good warranty.
And you have about 15 machines on display?
Right. I think we probably have the largest computer showroom in Phoenix, or in Arizona for that matter, and we have one each of every type of computer you can imagine that you can get your hands on and test drive and evaluate and run all the testing programs on to see which one best suits your needs.
And Showtronics also has their own bulletin board that you can get some time on if you want.
Right. That's really, that was started about 3 years ago, and I wanted to contribute something as a public service back to all of our customers who had helped make us the store that we are today. And I believe we have one of the largest BBSs west of the Mississippi, for that matter. It has 20 incoming phone lines. Hmm. It has over 600 megabytes of online software programs that you can download. The program that runs it, the BBS program itself, is called Galacticom, and it's a very high-end system. It's really, we call it a multi-user entertainment system, and there's all kinds of online games that you can play.
Do you have a ham radio section or some ham radio programs on it?
We have, it has the complete PCSIG library available for downloading from our machine to yours. And the charges are a penny a minute. And you can call in after you log into the Showtron database. You can call in to our clerks up front. And for $12, you can get 20 hours worth of time. And they credit your user ID with the hours. And then you can go in and you can select programs from type, like ham radio, if that's your interest. And it will pull up and show you all the programs that are available for downloading under that subject.
Well, that sounds neat. You know, I encourage anybody who wants to get involved with it, just call up, or do you have to come
the
in?
The phone number, by the way, is 495-0000. And call at 2400 baud N81. And when you call in, just type in the letters NEW. If you've never called in before, and it will ask you questions and set you up an account, and it will allow you 30 minutes of free time to check out the system.
Okay, well, we encourage everybody to do that. You certainly, from this ad that I'm looking at, you have everything from a 286 on up to the 486s and everything in between. So, and I know I've seen a monitor there, a Mitsubishi. What is that, about an 18-inch
screen? It's a 19-inch
19-inch screen. It's a nice screen. You have it on a 386-33 machine, I think.
Right.
So, okay. What's next for computers? What can we look for to the next advancement or major new thing in computers? Anything on the
table? The 486... SX is on the immediate horizon. That should be available for purchase in the community within the next 3 or 4 months. And what the 486 SX machine is, gives you the same processing power as a 486 system, but without the built-in math coprocessor. And not all systems can take advantage, not all programs take advantage of a math coprocessor. So the entry-level user or business-level user doesn't need that math coprocessor, so he can save money, but he can still get 486 performance with this new SX that's coming out.
So with a 486 in most in all cases except on this new SX, the math coprocessor is in there.
Right.
Okay, now the math coprocessor, which was a question that we have here, it speeds up what? Your program, if your program can take advantage
of it.
That's right.
If your program is set up to take advantage of an installed math coprocessor, then the graphics computations and the mathematical computations can be greatly enhanced in the machine. But there aren't that many programs that can use the advantages of a math coprocessor. What each user has to do is consult with the originator of the program to find out if it has the ability to take advantage of the math coprocessor.
Okay, and then if you have a 286 machine or a 386 or whatever, you need a math, there's different math coprocessors.
That's right.
You just don't go to a store and pick a math coprocessor up and put it in.
Once you found out that your programs that you're running can be enhanced with the addition of a math coprocessor, then you have to get the correct math coprocessor to match your system. Like if you have a 286 system, then you need a 287 math coprocessor.
Okay. Well, this hour sure went by pretty fast, I'll tell you. And I thank you, Alan Chope, from Showtronics for being here. Showtronics is at 1831 West Rose Garden Lane, which is just off of 19th Avenue, north of Bell. The phone number is 256-2266, 256-2266. And Mike Connors, thank you for being here.
Thank you, man.
And I want to invite everybody to be here next week again. John Moore will be here. We'll talk about the T-Hunt. Give me a call if you want to know more about the T-Hunt, and that'll be next week. And we'll also talk about the hurricane
wear
net.
Wear
some
clothes next time, will you?
Okay. And I want to thank my sponsors, Antennas West, Showtronics, I guess, and Wallpaper World, Ken Nichols, and everybody else. And thank you for listening, guys. Send in your QSL cards, 4800 North Central, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. 73's Arizona. This is KB7 LPW, Len Winkler. We're clear to next week.